Interpret because I'm gracious. I said, just said 1 John chapter 2. Everybody with me? Don't be long faced tonight. We're going to all gang up on somebody tonight. Y'all believe that, right? Here we go. 1 John chapter 2, look down at verse 18. Here's who we're ganging up on. Bible says, little children, this is the last time, and as you've heard, the Antichrist shall come. There's the enemy right there. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. As we look tonight in the Word of God, I'm going to preach to you on confusion in the churches. Confusion in the churches. If you'll notice in context of this chapter, he talks about verse 15, love not the world. Churches are so worldly now that you can't tell them apart from social organizations, for instance. You have a flavor of religion with a bunch of worldliness in all the churches nowadays. We are definitely living in what the Bible describes as the last days and last time. And he says, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. Why is that? It says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See, I'll tell on you real quick, if you're real worldly, you don't love the Father. Right. And I've read several books in the last year, and then answered the question of why people are the way they are. Without you having to go read them three books, I'm going to tell you right quickly what the answer is. It is because they are what they are. Now get that. Why are you the way you are? Because you are what you are. Now, I've read some stories and experienced them myself, and you've experienced some, and people leave churches for several reasons. Number one is the best way to leave a church, death. We lose people, we mourn them, but that's the best way to go out. And I don't mean an early death. I mean you've spent your life living for the Lord, and now you people die and will mourn your loss because you did so much for the Lord, and people miss that. I can relate that people died and we mourn them so, but then there's a second reason people leave. It's deception. Now listen to this one. Deception. People deceive others and leave. When's the last time you heard of somebody doing right? When's the last time you found out that somebody left the church for the right reason? I had a man here one time that told me we had a joint service with somebody. He said, you know our preacher left, didn't you? I said, I heard he left. Why'd he leave? I said, well, we called on his resume, all the people up there, and he'd stiffed the whole town where he come from. Power bill, water bill, all that. His rent, he hadn't paid it for months. I said, well, just a week ago, he's the greatest thing in the world. And then it hit me. I said, wait a minute. You didn't call his resume before you got him down here? He said, no, we thought he was such a good fella, deceiver. That's how people leave. They find their deception, they leave. Number three, they leave because of doctrine. If what you really believe is biblical, stand on it and don't worry who stays or goes. And by saying that, if somebody comes here and finds out that, no, we don't believe in jibber-jabber and losing your salvation and all that, and we're not changing because the Bible's not changing. I have noticed that people leave the church and they find out churches teach doctrine. I said, well, I'm going to go to church where they don't teach it. They teach it too. They just teach a different one. Now, understand that. If I show up at a church and they ain't got a name out on the front, and I say, well, I'm tired of Southern Baptists. I'm getting away from them. I'm going to go to Blake Avenue Christian Church. And I get in there and I didn't read that little line under the bottom of it with a little asterisk on it said a member of the Southern Baptist Convention, then you lied to me and I'm leaving. You get that? First one we ever had here in town was Overbrook Community Church. And they clapped their hands and they stood up and they did this and they did that. But there was a little bitty line. I passed a sign one day and I looked at it and it said a Presbyterian church. So I guess they were predestined to deceive you to walk in the door. Yep. Nowadays, we got all these guys coming out of seminary wanting to drop them names all of a sudden. Why would you want to do that? Number four, some leave because of destruction. They walk into a place and they start to destroy families, and then once everything gets tore up, they walk out the door. Sounds like somebody I've had to deal with all my life. It's called the devil.
Right.
They're of their father, the devil. That's why they act like that. Number five reason is defiance. You won't tell me what to do. Right. You know, I got one word for you if you're going to be like that. You ready for my word? Bye. That's like these little kids, 2 years old, 3 years old, stand up their mom and talk, you ain't telling me what to do.
Mm.
Challenge accepted.
That's
right. Challenge accepted. Because I ain't seen a 2 year old I couldn't take yet. Amen and amen. But listen, you got to take care of them when they're that size, because when they get this size, I'll take care of you. Mm-hmm. Now listen to me. These are reasons why people actually have left churches. But here are the confusions that's in the churches now. Look at verse 18. Your Bible says right there, it says, little children, it's the last time as you have heard that Antichrist shall come. And it says also, even now there are many Antichrists. The first bit of confusion that shows up in the church is the Antichrist is revealed. There are people literally right now trying to figure out who this gentleman is. They are literally trying to comb the Bible, watch prophecy videos, and read books and all this other stuff to try and figure out who he is. How about I let you in on something? If you're saved, you won't be here anyway, so why do you care?
Amen.
And for all the people that go out and teach us mid-tribulation, post-tribulation, and post-millennialism, you are led by a deceiver. And you say, how do you know that? Because you're looking for the Antichrist and not the Christ. And there's this other little clause in the Bible that says, no man knoweth the day nor the hour the Son of Man cometh. Let's say you really are post-millennial and you really believe Jesus is going to show up at the end of the millennium, or you're post-tribulation or you're mid-tribulation. You know, you would be able to figure out to the hour when Jesus is coming if that was the case. You'd see some guy show up on TV and says, here, take my new mark, put it on your head or on your forearm, and or on the back of your hands, give me, or on your forehead, and you can buy and sell. If not, we ain't going to sell you nothing. If you see that happen, you know right at that moment you got 3.5 years if you're mid-tribulation, 7 years if you're post-tribulation, or 1,007 years if you're amillennial, post-millennial. Isn't that crazy? Nobody ever talks about that stuff. You're looking for the wrong Christ. You're looking for the Antichrist. Amen.
Amen.
Now, all these jokers that come up with all this stuff, they all have one thing in common. They listen to some joker named Steven Anderson out in Arizona who does not have access to go to any foreign country anymore. They won't give him a passport anywhere. And it ain't because of his strong stand on the Bible. It's because of his big mouth. You want to hear somebody reveal him and jerk the sheets back? Listen to Bill Grady preach about him. He's more kinder than I'm being right now about it. I noticed that when the Antichrist shows up, he shows up in a particular time. And I did some study today, and there's the greatest Antichrist, plural, that showed up after John's death, didn't actually profess to be the Messiah or the Christos or Yeshua or whatever they say. They merely claimed his power and his authority, plus his titles and honors for themselves. But there's two in history that's outstanding Antichrist, plural. They're the little ones. And these religious quacks between both of them managed to convince all the religious idiots out there of these things right here. Number one was to be addressed as God the Father. Sound familiar? They want you to call him Father. John 17:11, God says not to do that. Matthew 24, he said don't do that.
Right.
One was to be called the apostle of God, like there was one other outside of him. One had Jesus Christ's power to forgive sins in a little box when you sat in there with him. The other had power to intercede for sinners at the last judgment. His name was Elijah Muhammad. Then number five, both had power to authorize arresting, torturing, and killing of any human being who didn't believe what they believed. You ever heard something called the Inquisitions? That was the Pope that presided over that. Number six, the other claimed power and authority to declare war against any country that wouldn't worship the moon god. So who's the moon god? That's Allah. Ain't it odd how your state flag has all them same symbols on that thing? In God we trust. Which one?
Mm-hmm.
both claimed that their religion was the only true religion, and one said that God chose his church as the only channel or means by which God would give grace to anyone. All of the rest of you are heathens. That's what they really think about you. Although they say we're just like you, but when they talk to each other, you are a heathen.
Yeah.
Number nine, the one said that Jesus Christ lied about his birth, his genealogy, his death, and his resurrection. That'd been Muhammad. The other gave three attributes of deity to a sinner by the name of Mary, who had to offer purification of her uncleanness in Luke chapter 2 when she had a child, her first child,
yep,
which she had without man.
Yep.
Number 11, one of these religious clowns was a bachelor and the other was a polygamist. Now figure that thing out. One was a shepherd of a flock that sported more than 800 child molesters, and the other took a 9-year-old girl into his palace, then got into bed with her when she was 12. They don't think there's a problem with that. I got a big problem with it. If those aren't antichrist, then tell me what they are. They're diametrically opposed against the Lord Jesus Christ. But that verse in 1 John chapter 2, don't you look what it says again. It says, little children, this is the last time, as you've heard, that antichrist shall come. Even now there are many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. There's two phrases in the Bible that gets misused. I'm going to show you both of them, share what the Bible says. One of them is right there, it's last time. We'll get that one in a second. The other one is the phrase last days. Last days. That phrase occurs 8 times in your Bible in 8 different verses. And in Genesis chapter 49, verse 1, it says, Jacob called to his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Everything in the Bible that's of importance has a seed plot in Genesis and gets harvested over here in Revelation. God's going to turn his attention back to that Jew during the time of Jacob's trouble, a 7-year period that the Gentiles call the Great Tribulation. And he's going to turn his attention back to them. And he first starts mentioning about dealing with them in the last days in Genesis. Secondly, in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2, it says, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. God will establish his house. During the millennial reign, when he brings the temple up there and he sets his throne there, people are going to come to it by request of the king. They're all going to show up. When God's house is established in the millennium, people file in, according to Micah chapter 4, verse 1, where it says, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established. He's going to do that very thing. Over in Acts chapter 2, the most overlooked scripture by most people as Christians today, when they're trying to prove something about the Holy Spirit, whatever their something is that it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. Everybody that preaches on that nowadays preaches out of Joel like it's going to come. What if I told you he just said it just showed up? And that's what God says. God pours out his spirit to indicate the start of the last time. In the last days. That's already happened.
Right.
It didn't happen in 1901 or 1906. It happened at Pentecost.
Amen.
God poured out his spirit on the world, and now everybody that gets saved, he enters in them within a covenant relationship and seals himself to them.
Yep.
No longer does the Holy Spirit come and go. He just comes to abide. Number 5, we find out about this phrase, the last days, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also in the last days perilous times shall come. So we find out that the perilous times start showing up in the last days. And brother, have we seen perilous times in these last days. But wait for it, for the last 2,000 years it's been going on. There's been more death, destruction, murder, rape, torture, all of that going on, and a lot of of religion.
Yes.
Number 6, God will speak by his son in the last days. You know, there's people right now that are trying to figure out how to hear the voice of God without a Bible in their hand.
Yeah.
Here's what God said. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2, hath in these last days spoken to us by his son.
Yeah.
whom he appointed, it says, the heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So if we're speaking by his son and he's speaking by his son, then you and I are listening to his son through the pages of his word. He said we can trust this book because we can trust him. He's the one that authored it. He's the one that preserved it. And he's the one that inspired it. He's the one that did all of it. And because he did, we can trust him. And in these last days, have we ever needed the Bible more than right now?
Amen.
Number 7, about these things, people gather treasures unto themselves. And James 5:3 says, your gold and silver is cankered. The rest of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. What did they do again? They started getting up money and gathering it to themselves. Let me ask you a question. As of the latest $3.5 trillion deal in Congress up there, are you going to be putting more than $500 in the bank at the time? I'll go ahead and answer for you. No, you're not. But wait for it. They're trying to lower it to $200.
What?
Why don't they go out and guys putting $10 million in? Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, well, they can't. That'd be them and their buddies. They're trying to race the middle class. You'll either be poor trying to gather it or rich having it gathered. Setting us up perfectly for the devil. Number 8, the scoffer spread doubt among God's people. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. And you know what the Bible says? They say, where is Christ? Where is his coming? Where is he at? We've been waiting on him for 2,000 years. I've heard preachers preach size of a little boy, blah, blah, blah. Can I help you right quick? Let's pretend you're a goldfish. Where would you live at? In a little bowl, right? You'd live in water. You'd be going around circles all the time, right? You'd see somebody walk by. Who would that be? Somebody called their owner. Who owns who, the goldfish or the person? Person owns the goldfish. If he's in there and he's looking, he sees that thing right there, you know what he's going to do? He's going to wonder how in the world you survive out there not having no water to breathe and think you're a freak. You and I are in this little bubble called time on planet Earth, and we look up towards the heaven and say, where is your coming? We don't understand who's walking outside the bowl. He's not like us. He's holy. He's perfect. Listen, he's the Lord God of glory. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We don't understand him. He's on the outside of what we can understand. So what do with him? We believe him. And we love him. And when things happen we don't understand, that's okay. We know he does. He's got it all under control. Now listen to this. That phrase last day shows up there, but then last time shows up 4 times in 3 verses. We're kept saved by the Lord is the first thing it shows us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says we are kept by who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I'm gonna tell you something. That verse right there lets me know who's keeping who. You can say, well, John 10, you in his hand, blah, blah. No, that goes with this. We're kept by God, it says, by the power of God through faith unto salvation. He keeps us. We don't keep him. In 1 John 2:18 right here, the phrase is mentioned here twice. Little children, it's the last time. And as you've heard that Antichrist will come, even now there's many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. If you go and try to figure out who all's been claiming to be Antichrist just in the last little period of time, you know what you're going to run into? A lot of names. I'm reminded every time I go by the beacon and go to the beacon of one of them. He is this slick brother called Sweet Daddy Grace. He died. So how are you reminded of there? That big old church right beside the beacon over there? He started that. That come from a big revival he did over there. Are you listening to me? Antichrist. Every time I turn on the TV, I'm reminded that there's an Antichrist coming and there's Antichrists already here. So how do you understand that? It's real easy. They all go against Jesus. All of them. I've heard preachers get up and preach, and I've said it myself, that all the TV shows right now have sodomites on every program. But while men slept, Rock Hudson was one back in the 19 what? I just love Andy Griffith. They don't cuss on that show nothing. There's one on that show for three solid years and got a spinoff show. His name was Gomer Pyle. Tell me again how they don't have them on them shows back then. They all perfect. They wasn't. So what happened? You been got by a deceiver. Oh, devil won't get me. I'm Jesus. No, he'll get you too. He'll get you next. And the reason he's able to do that, we get full of pride and God backs off and says, all right, go ahead and learn your lesson. I'll be back when you humble down. That's how God does that. Mockers live in ungodliness, according to Jude verse 18, where the Bible says, how that they told you there shall be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. We walk in amongst a crowd like that almost in the majority today. Not just lust, ungodly lusts, lusts that are against God. And we see all this stuff, and we see there's confusions in the church because of the Antichrist and the Antichrist. But another confusion that's in our church is that the anti-Christian is revealed, and when we see it, we deny it. Listen to this. Look at verse 19. Your Bible says they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. See, they leave in unforgiveness. There's people that's coming in out these church doors everywhere that walk in mad at somebody and leave mad at you. It wasn't their fault they had to leave that place. Those are bad people. They come here. Y'all the greatest people on earth. Them people are awful. Then they leave here and say the same thing about you, me. What are they? Anti-Christians. They're leaving in unforgiveness, and unforgiveness is anti-Christian. I'll never forgive that person. Then you are an anti-Christian. Listen, I looked through the Bible at some of these people, and this has been going on quite a while, and it shows up in the obvious place. The first is Deuteronomy 13, verse 13, the very numbers for rebellion. And it says, certain men, the children of Belial, that's of the devil right there, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which you have not known. So what are them gods? Well, I believe if we could read the Hebrew, it'd say softball, baseball, football, basketball, and movie stars, amen. Because I find people lay out of church over that stuff before they will sickness. Man sick as a dog wanting to come to church because they're going to vote on something. He's got to hear what's going on, get the latest gossip. But you let a good ball game come on, well, I might not be able to make it tonight. I mean, God forbid the Cowboys play in the Super Bowl. We might have a Super Bowl party here. I'm not going to say we're not, but we're going to have preaching before and after so I can get right with God.
That's right. Amen.
Blasphemer, hush. Football team fan. The NFL hates the Redskins so bad they took away their name. It had nothing to do with politics. They just hate the Redskins, amen. But he is right. I would have to really have a bout of repentance or something after that thing. And especially if they won. Are you listening to me yet? Now watch this. Psalm 41 verse 9. See if it's anybody in your life or if it's somebody else. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. And before you think that that's you, I got a little small piece of news for you. He's talking about Judas. But you've ran into Judas before, haven't you? I'm your friend, I'm your friend, I'm your friend. And next thing you hear, the next thing you hear is I said you was a dog. You can borrow my car anytime. And it comes back in with three wheels and turkeys dropping it off with the rollback. And I said, what happened? You go, I don't know. Next thing I know, I got a $10 million lawsuit where you hit somebody in my car and denying it. That's what Judas does. Luke 8, verse 13. We just looked at the parable of the sower and Mark. Listen to what he says here. They on the rock are they which hear that hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root for a while. Believe, it says, in time of temptation. What does that little two-letter thing right there say? They do what? They fall away. Oh my goodness, if they fall away, what in the world does that mean? Apostasy.
Yeah.
What do? They step in a hole with no bottom and they keep falling. You think they're bad now, give them another year if God lets them live. John 15:2, every branch that in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. All of these, Jude verse 19 says this, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. What are they operating on? Feelings. Nothing but feelings. You're warned not to do that. These people that's like that, they have not the Spirit. Oh, I just got to go what feels right. I feel his peace on his. I don't care what you feel. You know what I felt sometimes? I felt like I was being twisted and squeezed out and wringed out. And everybody said, well, pray till you get peace. And they wasn't no peace in a mile. Did what God said and the peace come on the other side. I promise you, listen, you'd never get to heaven and convince Abraham that was true. So how's that? Because while he's headed up one side of the hill, that ram's headed up on another, but he's thinking he's going to kill his child to get up there. Mm-hmm. Ain't no good feeling there. But as he drawed back the knife, God said, hold on, Abraham. Look right over there. I want that thing instead. What was he doing? Testing Abraham. Right. Yeah. Listen, I heard a great message preached on a subject one time called God Don't Want Your Isaacs. He don't want your Isaacs. He's going to see if you're going to be loyal to him or loyal to them. That's right. That's the test. And God's never going to tell anybody on planet Earth to do that again, now that that's in the Bible. So God's not telling you to kill your teenager, although you will feel like it. Ain't that something? And on the back row, especially on this side, God's not telling you to kill your only son. Amen. So what is that? That's personal application of the Bible. But they leave in unforgiveness and they leave in unbelief because it says in that verse 19, they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Why'd they leave? Well, according to 1 Corinthians 11:19, it says, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. There are people right now who, for whatever reason, are studying false doctrine thinking it's true. Who got them to do that? The world? The flesh or the devil? Then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9, after he talks about James and John Braves withstood Moses, they went out from us, they weren't of us, said, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest in all men as theirs was. You got to understand, God lets some of that stuff happen to reveal people. And usually the way it works out is real simple. They'll defy the Bible in private, they'll defy the preaching in public, and then they'll defy the people and walk out the door. Right. Come on. Anytime you need me, though, you can call me. We ain't calling you. Not going to call you. Why? Well, you went out. I mean, you went out. Well, I love everybody down there, preacher. Well, them's fighting words as far as I'm concerned. I'm going to tell you something. I had a man call my house one time and said he didn't like Dr. Carter and he's a missionary. And you know what I told him? I said, jig's up right now. He said, what do you mean? I said, in the next 30 seconds, you're going to hear a click and I'm calling him. And I said, I bet I can dial him faster than you can to tonight. I don't do that stuff. I don't play that stuff. And he's been dead 12 years and I'm still loyal to him. So what would you do now if somebody talked about him? I tell God on you is what I do. Yeah. Let him take care of that. Yeah. How dare somebody be good to somebody over and over and over and over, and they're going to try and bite the hand trying to help them. Mm-hmm. And then claim you the bad guy and they the victim. Yeah. So how can you tell them apart? Just look at their tithing records. I'll tell you all you need to know about them. Man told me a while back about this preacher in town. He said, I don't like how he runs things. I said, ain't you a member down there? He said, yeah. I said, you need to go tell him, not me.
That's right.
He said, what if I don't? I said, he's already going to know it. You going to rat me out? I said, I prefer the term tell on you rather than rat you out. Rat you out sounds like something hoods do. I'm a gentleman. I'm going to tell on you. Okay?
That's right.
I'm not in the mafia. I can't rat you out, buddy. But listen to this. After looking at the Antichrist, the Antichrists, and the Antichristians, are you in or out? Are you in or are you out? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.